I want us to go into the Word of God and continue to press in and to study around the theme that we have been studying for quite a while now. So if you will please bow your heads with me, let's share a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much tonight for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your loving kindness. We come before you as your people. Lord, our eyes are set upon you. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to come around the Word of God. And so many people in different parts of the world wish they had this opportunity, but they don't. But we thank you, and we do not take it for granted. And I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters tonight, wherever they are, wherever they are joining us from around the world, I pray, God, that your blessings will be upon their lives. I pray, Father God, that your grace and your anointing will be upon our teaching, upon the Word of God tonight. Lord, speak through my tongues and through my vocal cords. Think through my mind, O God. Help me to declare the will and the counsel of Almighty God. Lord, not my words, but your words. Help me speak that which you have ordained tonight. And God, give us understanding. Let our ears be opened, Father. Let our hearts be inclined to hear and to receive everything that you have for us. We thank you for it, Lord. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. We know, God, by the time this Bible study is over tonight, you would have taken us up several notches. You would have empowered us. You would have filled us with knowledge, revelation, understanding. For that, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. And thank you again for joining us. I want us to go back in the Word of God. The covenant, our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense against every assault of the enemy. Our covenant with Jehovah God. And so no matter what the enemy sends our way, we are confident in God because our covenant with him is our defense. Our covenant with him is our ark that will carry us through every season of life, whether they are great seasons where we're enjoying the goodness and favor of God, or whether they are trying seasons where there's a lot of tribulation and a lot of adversity. None of that makes any difference before the Lord. His covenant will carry us through every season of life. So we have been in Philippians chapter 2 talking for a while about this key of meekness and as being a part of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we wrapped that up in our last teaching. And I want to do a very short recap. And I want us to talk tonight a little bit, give some time to talking about, and it's not only going to be tonight. I trust God that we're going to have other services and teaching meetings where we're going to come back and revisit the issue and the subject of the authority that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his identity. However, we have learned that the spirit of meekness is the gateway to the fullest blessings of the covenant. It's one of the most powerful things that we've learned. The Bible says in Psalm 25, the Lord said he will show, he will reveal his covenant to those that fear the Lord and those that are meek. The meek he will teach in the way that he chooses. Amen. We have also said and learned very strongly and very powerfully, especially last week, I believe the Lord really, really helped us with that, a lack of meekness, contrary to what a lot of people think, a lack of meekness is actually a weakness that exposes us to the deception of the enemy, and that ultimately pushes us out of our place in the covenant. The real treacherous thing about this lack of meekness in many people who experience that is unfortunately they don't realize that they are already being exposed to the deception of the enemy. Sometimes they feel like they're on the right path. Sometimes they feel like they're standing in the right place. Sometimes they feel like they're doing the right thing. They expect that God is going to affirm them. God is going to approve of them. They even invoke the name of God and sometimes invoke the word of God, like we saw Miriam do in our study of Numbers chapter 12. She invoked the name of God. She invoked the word of God. She went as far as saying, "Oh, well, Moses isn't the only one God speaks to around here. We are prophets too." And yeah, she was right. Yeah, they were prophets. But she was already caught up in that deception. She believed that lie. And unfortunately, that is one of the biggest things with meekness, actually, with a lack of meekness. Meekness is really one of the greatest guards that the Lord has given us in our heart. Meekness is one of the greatest protections that we can have. If we remain teachable, if we remain leadable, and if we're not open and susceptible to offense, it is very, very easy for the Holy Spirit to move us and to nudge us and to stir us. And that really is what meekness is. Meekness is being leadable, it's being teachable, and it's being not easily offended. So let's go back there and read in Philippians chapter 2 and from verse 5. I'm not going to spend much time here. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And in our last teaching, we actually learned four very powerful ways in which we can grow in the spirit of meekness. Sometimes believers say, "Yeah, but I really want to grow in that, but I don't know how." But the Lord helped us to learn that last week. And if you consciously just expose yourself, it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world. Remember, the will of man is extremely strong. And our minds just want to do their own thing. And a lot of times it's difficult for our minds to agree, to want to submit to the will of God. But if we consciously yield ourselves and consistently yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and yield ourselves to the Word of God, that process will continue on. And you'll find out as you expose yourself, as you do those things that we talked about, from day to day, week to week, with every opportunity that you have, you suddenly look back and find out, wow, praise God, I didn't think I was going to react or respond to that situation that way. Wow, I'm surprised. I didn't lose my cool. I didn't swear. I didn't curse. I didn't stick up my middle finger. I didn't yell back. And you find out that the Holy Spirit is working. Hallelujah. And that's not all, because you didn't do all of that, but in your heart, there's this strong malice and bitterness, and you're just looking for a way to get back. No, the Lord is truly working on you. You find you're becoming more like Jesus. Your mind, your thinking, your purpose, your attitude, like we learned last week, is becoming more and more like him. Your motivation for the things that you do, becoming more and more like Jesus. So once we yield to the Holy Spirit and we consistently yield to the Holy Spirit, that process will go on and on. And remember, even if you sleep every now and then, you may sleep and pick yourself up and find out, "Oh boy, I did that again. Man, I should not have said that. Oh, how did I allow myself to fall into that trap again?" Don't worry about it. Just get before the Lord, repent, let him know you are sorry about it, and then get right back. Get right back and continue to develop yourself and continue to grow in the spirit and in the attitude of meekness. And the Lord will help us. He's so faithful. Amen. Now, Having done all of that, the Bible says here in verse 9, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All right, two things I think I want to do. I want to start from here tonight. Two things I want to mention real briefly. First, where we stopped last week, I know that I was saying something about equality. I was talking about equality and rights, and I was saying something about the Lord isn't calling us to give up our rights to the world, like give up our privileges to the world. No, but this is all in the context. All of this, what the Lord did, what the Lord Jesus Christ did, was in the context of his relationship with God the Father, a trusted relationship, a close covenant relationship. And in that covenant relationship, he laid down his rights, he laid down his privileges. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do. Remember, these scriptures, these letters are written to the church. They are written to the brethren, to brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not written to the world, and they're not written to Christians, especially the context of what is being talked about here. It's not written to tell believers, oh, just give up all of your rights. You know, no matter what happens, you know, just put up with it. So I know I had to rush through that in our last teaching, and that was actually a scripture that I cited that I'd wanted to read that I didn't get to read. I think I want to read that tonight. And then there's a second one I want to also refer to very briefly. I know that one of the reasons why a lot of believers struggle a lot yielding and getting on the path of meekness or living a life of meekness is we often feel like people are just going to take advantage of us, you know. We often feel like we won't have anything left if we give up our privileges, we give up our rights. What are we going to have left? And that's a very scary thought. But beyond that, in fact, beyond that, a lot of times believers feel like, if we walk in meekness, then we won't be able to exercise dominion. They sometimes look at those two things like they are mutually exclusive. Like if you are operating in the spirit of meekness and you are living a life that is meek before the Lord, with the brethren in your relationships, your covenant relationships, feel like, well, you know, how then do I exercise dominion? But we actually saw the Lord Jesus Christ do that. While walking in meekness, while demonstrating his obedience to the will of God, he also declared and showed and told people around him that he still had the ability to walk in authority. The Bible says here, the Lord gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, that means the Lord has been given a place of royalty. And we're going to come back and read that, some part of that in Ephesians. As believers, we have a destiny of royalty, but we actually also, right now, already have been given the status of royalty. As a child of God, you are royalty. The Bible says we have been made kings and priests by virtue of the covenant that we share with the Lord. That covenant that was enacted by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that covenant conferred upon us priesthood. He conferred upon us royalty. You are a priest before God. You are a king before God. And there is a king inside of you. So we're not lowly in the sense that positionally we are disadvantaged. Oh no, we are not disadvantaged at all. As a matter of fact, we are seated high above. The Bible in fact says far above principalities and powers. And this name that the Lord Jesus Christ has been given is a name that is far above every other name. Well, you know, that ought to make us excited. That ought to make us rejoice, right? Because if his name is far above every other name, and he gave us that name, that means we have access and we have the ability and the same authority that Jesus had. And in taking his name, we can actually operate above every other thing, above every other name. The name of Jesus is higher than poverty. The name of Jesus is higher than sickness. The name of Jesus is higher than failure. The name of Jesus is higher than disappointment. The name of Jesus is higher, get this, than COVID-19. The name of Jesus is higher than cancer. The name of Jesus is higher than heart attack. The name of Jesus is higher than, it's higher and above every other name. The name of Jesus is higher than every, as long as that thing has a name and it can be recognized, the name of Jesus is higher. And because the name of Jesus is higher, then we also have been blessed. The same authority that was conferred upon Jesus has been conferred upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know that I know that is such an exciting thing. It's such an exciting knowledge to have. Amen. But let's quickly look at this. So, Philippians 2, 5 and 6 is in the context of our close relationships. Jesus had a close covenant relationship with God, so he didn't claim his rights and privileges or equality, but he claimed them when relating to the religious people. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, Pilate, etc., right? Remember, one of the things that drove them up the wall, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, it just almost got their guts out was when he said, they asked him, so you are claiming to be the Son of God? Because he always talked about the Father. He would say the Father did this and the Father did that. And as a son, he did this and and they thought, really? You're actually comparing yourself with God the Father? And he never denied that. He never gave up that right. He never gave up that privilege before the Pharisees. He never said, I'm not the son of the Father. He never did that. And but that's where his authority was. When he operated and he spoke to the winds and he spoke to situations and he spoke to circumstances, I feel the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you are dealing with in your life right now. I don't know what seems to be an irritation, what seems to be this nagging, aggravating situation that you constantly wake up to that just sucks the peace of God away from you, sucks your joy and just fills you with anger, fear, aggravation, whatever that situation is. I'm saying to you tonight on the authority of the Word of God that the name of Jesus is higher than that situation. I don't care. I don't even care how long that situation has existed for. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm hearing about situations regarding loved ones. And I don't know why this is coming to me right now. Regarding loved ones, even spouses, children, grandchildren, siblings, relatives in our family. As long as those situations affect people that are under your areas of jurisdiction, that is areas where you have been given authority, I stand in agreement with you right now, and I command that there be a loosening of those chains. I command there be a breaking of every chain and every yoke in the name of Jesus. I command that there be a dissolution, a complete dissolution of everything that is raising its head up, rearing its head up, and seeking to confound you or confound any of your loved ones. In the name of Jesus, we exercise the authority that is in the name. I don't care if it's a sickness. I don't care if it's a destructive habit. I don't care if it's something else that just confounds you. I declare tonight that in the name of Jesus, within just a few days, there will be a turnaround in that situation, and we're going to have a breakthrough in Jesus' mighty name. Do you receive that? I receive that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now, so remember that Jesus didn't give up his right with these worldly people. It is important to keep that in mind. This scripture is written to believers. This scripture is not saying don't claim your rights or your privileges or walk in authority or dominion. We're going to start talking about that tonight. You'll be foolish to give up your rights and your privileges to the world. You'll be foolish to stand there and let someone take what rightfully belongs to you in Christ. Remember, you are a joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah. And I read one of those translations earlier today that says you have joint seating. Oh, I love that. You have joint seating. You have joint seating in heavenly spheres. Joint seating in heavenly spheres. Man, that is awesome. That is just awesome. You know, there are different spheres in which every human being operates. But the Bible says we have joint sitting with Christ in heavenly spheres. Have you ever been like in a large group, a large crowd, sports event, or some other major event where you absolutely just really wish you could be in one of, you could have privileged sitting? Like, you could have, my Webster's guys are not here to help me. Like you could, I'm sure that they're thinking of the words I'm thinking of right now, but they can't get those to me. That you have this like esteem, this high place sitting, like you know, not a high table, but like you know, front row seats. Like if you are like in a sports event or something like that, or something where you really wish you could see everything up close, and you had the front row seat. Well, the Bible says we have joint privileged seating or seat with Christ Jesus in heavenly spheres. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Remember, there are other spheres where every human being on earth operates from. Some human beings operate from the sphere of the world, the sphere that is ruled by the dominion, the authority of Satan and sin. So they operate in that sphere of the world, that worldly sphere. But when we come into Christ, Jesus actually calls us into the covenant sphere. And when you come into the covenant sphere, you have access to everything that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have access to all the promises. You have access to all the covenant blessings. Remember what the Bible says in Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So he took us out of that worldly sphere that is controlled by Satan and sin, which is also, you have things like sickness and poverty are strongly prevalent in that sphere. Jesus called us out of that sphere. He redeemed us out of that by being made a curse for us. And he called us into the sphere of the covenant, where the blessings of Abraham are now ours. Hallelujah. Everything that belongs to the Godhead, everything that belongs to Jesus through the covenant belongs to us. But you know, Even as we enjoy, as we dwell in that covenant sphere, the Lord calls us to actually go a step higher and enjoy joint sitting in this heavenly sphere and take on the status of royalty. Take on the status of royalty, where dominion and authority and the kingship of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit is conferred upon us, and we actually know how to exercise those rights. We actually know how to exercise that authority. I love the scripture in Micah. I think it's Micah chapter 4. I think it's verse 9, I think it is, where, you know, the entire chapter is talking about the dominion that belongs, the authority that belongs to the people of God, this promised authority and promised dominion. And then he talks about these different things all the way, and he gets to verse 9, and he says, why are you crying? Is there no king in you? Remember, he's talking to God's covenant people. That prophet Micah was prophesying to God's covenant people. But then he got to this place, and having talked to them about what their rights, dominion, and things like that were, he got to this place and he said, why do you cry? Is there no king in you? Do you even recognize your place of royalty? You know, child of God, as someone who lives and operates in that heavenly sphere, someone who enjoys the privileges of joint sitting with Christ in that heavenly sphere, you enjoy that royalty status and the same authority and the same dominion that the Lord Jesus Christ has. You have, and you operate in. So this is Micah. This is a little rabbit trail here, a little detour. But let me read this. From verse 1, it says, Micah chapter 4 from verse 1. In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills. People will flow to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Notice, he says, it's the house of the Lord is exalted above the hills. It's set up at the very top of the mountains, and God's people flow to it. And then he goes on in verse 3. He will judge among many people. He will rebuke strong nations afar off. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. He says in verse 4, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. None shall make them afraid. Why? Because they have royalty status now. Hallelujah. None. Now remember, when he's talking here, he's talking in context of the forces on the outside, the satanic forces outside of the body of Christ, outside of the realm and the sphere of our covenant. None shall make them afraid. So as royalty, we fear nothing. As royalty, we're not anxious about anything. We're not troubled about anything. We have royalty status. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anything that gets etched in your spirit as I speak tonight and as we just look into the word of God more and more, further and further, I pray that this royalty status becomes such a clear revelation in your consciousness. I'm royalty. I have royalty status. Hallelujah. Praise God. That isn't going to bring us pride. That isn't going to make us haughty. We already dealt with that. We have the spirit of meekness. But we have royalty status. We are kings and priests before our King. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look here, it says, we'll walk in the name of the Lord, verse 5, verse 6. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast of a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, that's children of God, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. Unto you will it come, even the first dominion. Remember the first dominion? The one that was conferred upon Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Say, let's make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion. That first dominion, it says that dominion, your first dominion will be restored to you, it says. It says it will come back to you. That's in verse 8. Even your first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. These are the covenant people of God, the children of God. Now look in verse 9. If you have this dominion operating in your life, if you have the authority, the same authority that was conferred upon the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, where it says, therefore, God has given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That same authority that was conferred upon Jesus, it's been conferred to you and to me. That first dominion. Now listen to what he says in verse 9. He says, now, why dost thou cry out aloud? Why are you crying? Is there no king in you? Is there no king in you? Having received your dominion in Christ, having received your authority in Christ, is there no... Why would we even be concerned about anything? Why would we even be troubled about anything? We fear nothing. We cry over nothing. We sulk over nothing. We have authority. We have dominion. Hallelujah. We have dominion in Christ Jesus. No matter what is going on in the world, no matter what is going on around us, we walk like Christ. If the Lord is going and suddenly there is this storm, I'll never forget so many years ago, I just given my life to Christ. I had just given my life to Christ. You have to understand this. I had no foundational basis, no knowledge, no prior experience with the Christian faith. I'm talking the living faith, the word, this living salvation. I'm not talking religion, because every now and then, would stray into some meeting or the other, maybe go to a family with a family friend or something, and go into some gathering or something where you hear, you know, things of Christ being taught. But those things didn't mean anything to us. This didn't mean anything to me personally. Hallelujah. And when I finally gave my life to Christ, and I'll never forget this, praise God for the people the Lord sent to teach us and minister to us and taught us the basics, the rudiments. And, you know, I just get into that word. My hunger couldn't be satisfied. My thirst couldn't be assuaged. I just wanted more and more and more. It was different from everything I'd ever heard in my life. And I know they had talked about this authority in the name of Jesus, and they had shared this story of, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he was in this boat, there was this storm, and he got up and rebuked the storm. And I remember in the environment where I was there at that time, this was in 1982. And in this environment, there had actually been stories of some of these strange whirlwinds, I think they were whirlwinds, you know, that would, I think there have even been reports of people who had been damaged, hurt, Some little children had actually even gone missing, and this is the truth. So in this environment, we were all really scared of this well. And they usually told us, whenever the whirlwinds come, just run right, just leave, get as fast as you can, get into the nearest building. Well, on this particular night, I was in this solitary place. The whirlwind started, and the nearest building from where I was coming was the dormitory behind me, was so far away, so far from me. The nearest building was like the school store that was ahead of me, but that was also very far away. This whirlwind was, and there was no one inside. Everybody had kind of, and I suddenly remembered, the Lord is my witness over this testimony and this story I'm sharing with you. I suddenly remembered, it came to my mind that I had heard them talk in the fellowship about Jesus rebuking the winds. And the moment the fear came and the threat and the anxiety came, suddenly the memory of that story, that biblical story, came within me, and suddenly there was a boldness that came upon me. And I remember I pointed my finger in the hands of this whirlwind, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you, peace be still. Peace be still." And just like that, I would never forget it as long as I live. See, there was nobody there to tell me, "Oh no, that doesn't work today." No, there's nobody to confuse me about it. I just remember the story they told us in the fellowship. I was a new believer. I said, I didn't even know much. A lot of this stuff in the Word of God, our royalty, our authority, this royalty status we have been given is not based on how long you have been in the body of Christ. In fact, unfortunately, sometimes some people who have been in the body of Christ a long time have forgotten that royalty status. A lot of times, younger believers are the ones who are more daring. They are usually the ones who are more willing to actually put to work the things that they just heard. Like, I just heard that. I would never forget it as long as I live. 1982. And that wind collapsed. It fell like somebody poured a bucket of water on the ground, and everything became still. Suddenly, everything became still. I remember in the next fellowship, I was telling everybody excitedly, excitedly. And we were all so young in the faith. We were all so excitable. It's one of the problems today with believers. It's just so difficult to get them to be excited about anything in the Word of God. And I pray that doesn't become your situation. A lot of times believers hear things and they go, See, because they've heard so many things like that, but they'll go, But it's not gonna cut it. I'm talking about us living in the reality of it. That's what the Lord is bringing to us tonight, is endeavoring to bring within us tonight. Micah the prophet, he said, "Why are you crying loud? Why are you crying out loud? Why are you aggravated about this situation? Why are you so tormented by this situation? Is there no king in you? Is there no king in you? Did you forget about your authority? Did you forget about your dominion that you have in Christ Jesus?" Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Lord isn't telling us to give up this dominion, this authority in relating with the world, in dealing with the things that are coming from the outside of our covenant, from the outside of the body of Christ. The storms of life, the raging attacks of the enemy, the evil plans of the wicked, plots of the wicked, traps that are set before us. Sometimes a lot of confusion around us. Sometimes a lot of things we don't understand. The enemy trying his best and doing his best to put us in a place of stupor where we can't stand on our two feet and we can't take authority. That's what the Bible is talking about. In those seasons, in those moments of life, we ought to remember, wait, I have royalty status. Whether it's a situation at work, whether it's a situation at home, whether it's a situation on the field, whether it's a situation on the street, whether it's a situation in the marketplace, I have royalty status. I have royalty status. Jesus said, you remember when he said, I give you my name? He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. It's Mark chapter 16 from verse 15. In my name. In my name. Remember what he told them in Matthew 28? All authority and the power of rule on earth has been given unto me. He says, therefore, go and preach in my name. Take that same authority. Take that same authority. And I'm going to trust God in a couple of our Bible study teachings. I'm going to take some time to come back and revisit. Might not be immediately. I'm going to revisit the area of our spiritual authority as believers. The covenant confers upon us, opens the door to us to enjoy royalty status. I don't care if you only have $1 in the bank. I don't care, in fact, if you have no money in the bank. I don't care if you have nothing in the natural. You are royalty. Amen. You are royalty. I don't care what your circumstances are, where you live, what you're dealing with. I don't care about all that. How much or how little education you have, or I don't care about all of that is immaterial. If you are a child of the covenant, you have royalty status. You have access to royalty status. What we need now is the understanding of how to walk in it, the understanding of how to engage this dominion. The understanding of how to live in this authority. Look with me. So Paul, this is the scripture I wanted to read last week. I'm just going with the Holy Spirit here. This is Acts chapter 22. Let's look at that scripture together. Actually, I just want you to see here. Give up your privileges. It's not give up your privileges to the world. Give up your rights to the world. Oh, no. No. And in Acts chapter 22, you remember? Let's read from verse 24. Acts chapter 22. Let's read it from verse 22 so you can have better context here. It'll be easier for you to read the entire thing. But listen to this in verse 22. They gave him audience, talking about the people, the Jews, the Hebrews Paul was speaking with, unto this word. And then they lifted up their voices and they said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and as they cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. Notice, he should be examined by scourging. That they are going to whip him. Let me read that to you from the Amplified. The commandant ordered that Paul be brought into the barracks and that he be examined by scourging in order that the commandant might learn why the people cried out thus against him. Listen to verse 25. But when they stretched him out with the thongs, the leather straps, Paul asked the centurion who was standing by, is it legal for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned without a trial? He knew his rights. He knew his privileges, and he didn't give it up to the world. Listen to it in the King James. He said, he says, and as they bound him with the thongs, that is with the whips, the thing they were going to whoop him with, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, let me go back to the Amplified. When the centurion heard that, he went to the commandant and said to him, what are you about to do? This man is a Roman citizen! What are you about to do? See, why did he come to that realization? Because Paul did not give up his right. He did not give up his citizenship rights. Hallelujah. He didn't give that up. Yes, if we were supposed to give up all our rights, we're supposed to give up all our privileges, then Paul should not have claimed that there. He should just have let them whoop him real bad and suffer that in silence and probably take him and go kill him at that point in time so he wouldn't finish the assignment that the Lord had given him because of the craziness of some of these people that were attacking him. Now, he should not have claimed, but he said, wait a minute, is this legal? He knew his rights. And then the commandant, so the commandant came and said to Paul, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? He said, yes, indeed. That's Paul. He said, yes, indeed, I am. Verse 28, the commandant replied, I purchased this citizenship as a capital investment for a big price. Paul said, I was born Roman. I didn't pay a price for this. I was born free. Instantly, those who were about to examine and flog him withdrew from him, and the commandant also was frightened, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and he had put him in chains. Paul spoke up and demanded his right, and these people in authority suddenly realized they were doing something that was not authorized, and they were frightened and they loosed their grip upon him. Well, if we're supposed to just give up all our rights and all our privileges, well, Paul should just never even have said a word. No. There's a realm and a sphere, and this is why it was so important that we took the time to go through and learn precept upon precept, line upon line, the principle of walking and growing in the spirit of meekness. In doing that, what we have done is we have covered our bases. In walking in the spirit of meekness, in our covenant relationships, in our brotherly, sisterly relationships, our close relationships, our trusted relationships, that sometimes, even when it feels like you are being taken advantage of by your brother, don't worry about it. Give up that right. Remember, like Abraham, sometimes if it feels like, really, you are the older one, you are the one who should have the right to take the better part of the land, but here is your nephew not backing down, you give up that right. You give up that privilege. And the spirit of meekness will give you access to the fullest blessings of the covenant. That's that we cover that basis. We're good there. There's no room for pride. There's no room for haughtiness. There's no room for self-conceitedness. There's no room for vainglory, self-ambition. There's no room for all of these empty canal pursuits and drives that seek to bring us glory rather than give glory to God. No room for any of that, but we'll cover those bases. But we have royalty status. Hallelujah. We have royalty status. We have been conferred with authority and with dominion. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Do you remember when... let me read this. My time is almost gone here. I know I'm gonna I'm gonna have to close somewhere around here. Do you remember when Judas? I think this is Luke. I wrote this down here. Actually, it's in Matthew. But do you remember the incidents in Luke where Jesus was being crucified? All the soldiers were mocking him. They were laughing at him. And the two criminals that were being crucified with him on his side, to the right and to the left, one of them spoke up and said, "Oh, if you are truly the Son of God, why don't you just get up from that tree? Just get up from that cross and save yourself and then save us." He was mocking him. And the other criminal said, "How dare you?" This is Luke chapter 23, verse 33 to 43. "How dare you say that? Look, we are condemned and we are rightfully condemned. He hasn't done anything wrong." And there, Jesus in one breath said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," talking about still exercising his meekness. But then in the other breath, he looked at the other criminal, who was speaking on his behalf, speaking good, and he said to him, today, you will be with me in paradise." That's exercising dominion. See, on one hand, he's walking in the spirit of meekness. On the other hand, right there, in the same context, he's exercising dominion. You remember when Judas led the religious leaders to come and arrest him? I think that's in Matthew 26, 48 to 54. We don't have the time to read that. And you remember, he came and he had told them, "Whosoever I kiss, that's the man, that's your man." And he came and kissed the Lord, and the Lord said, "Oh, Judas, why are you, you know?" And one of Jesus' disciples drew a sword and cut off the ear of one of the people who came to arrest him. And Jesus said, "No, put away that sword. Put away that sword, because the people who live by the sword will die by the sword." Don't put away the sword. He said, "But what, we live by something higher than the sword?" He said, Do you think I can right now momentarily ask my Father?" These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Do you think I can right now momentarily ask my Father for a legion of angels and he will send them to me?" See, on one hand, he's walking in the spirit of meekness. Put away that sword. We don't live by the sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. We live by something higher. But on the other hand, he's saying, "Do you not know that I can momentarily ask my Father right now, and he will send me 12 legions?" Now, that is no joke. 12 legions of angels. A legion of angels, 6,000 angels. And you know, one angel, even just one angel, can wreak havoc on thousands of opposing soldiers in battle. Now imagine, just try to wrap your mind around what 6,000 times 12, it's a 12 legions. It's almost like one legion for each of us, because you know, he was there with the other 11 disciples that were left. Judas had committed his betrayal and he was already out of the covenant. But each of these, Jesus inclusive, each of them, 6,000, that is over 72,000 angels. It's a momentary, like right now. So he's still walking in his dominion, even though he's walking in the spirit of meekness. I just want you to see there's no conflict. And I think we should close here. There is no conflict. You can walk in the spirit of meekness, and at the same time, you can exercise your God-given dominion and authority. Hallelujah. You can walk in your royalty status that has been conferred upon you, and you should every day, and you should walk in the spirit of meekness every day. Remember in Philippians chapter 2, we actually see both of those juxtaposed with one another. He talked for a number of verses about putting on the spirit of meekness, having on the same mind that Jesus had. And then right after that, in the same breath, he starts saying, wherefore Jesus has been given authority and dominion and a name that is above every other name, that are the name of Jesus, every name. So these are not two mutually exclusive things. And as I wrap up tonight, I want to encourage you, child of God, look around you. No matter what you are surrounded by, look within you. There's royalty within you. There's a king inside of you. You have your first dominion, the first dominion, the first one given to Adam when there had not been sin, when man had not fallen or experienced corruption. That first dominion is available to you. That authority in the name of Jesus. So take your place of authority. Take the name and use that place and use that name and use that power and use that dominion. Don't cry about anything. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Just walk in your room and take authority. And you see the power of God. You see ministering spirits. You see angels working for you. You see situations turning around for you. You see turnaround coming. You see restoration happening. You see the power of God being made available to you in the different situations of life that you encounter. I pray that this word becomes great and greater and more multiplied realities in the situations of your life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Let's close tonight. Let's share a word of prayer. Thank you again for joining us, and thank you for coming around the Word of God with us, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to minister this word to you, to share with you, and I thank you for opening your heart to receive it, and for beginning to put into practice, continuing to use everything that the Lord has ministered to us tonight. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. My brothers and my sisters, I thank you, God, for the blessing of this service tonight. Thank you, God, for the anointing and the grace that we have experienced, that the Holy Spirit has moved freely amongst us. Thank you for the words that you have spoken to us. Thank you, God, for the power of your covenant. Thank you for the authority that we have in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you because the reality of that word is guaranteed as we put it to work. Thank you, God, because this covenant will work and produce in our lives, in every area of our lives. I speak the blessing of heaven over everyone tonight. I thank you, Father. I thank you, God, for continuing to take us up higher and higher, establishing us, God, where you have ordained for our lives. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen.